The best new music of the week.
We love music.
Music 2011 with Richard Kingsmill.
Triple J.
In just a moment here on Triple J tonight on 2011, the French producer and artist Joachim is going to be with us. His fourth album just came out on Friday. His new album is called Nothing Gold. He spent a year making it in his own studios in France. He also runs a label on the French music scene, which is called Tiger Sushi. A well-regarded producer and artist. He's been around for a number of years, and this new album is really fantastic. Lots of really great songs and inspirations coming into the making of it. So we'll catch up with Joachim in just a moment. But from the new album, this track is called Fight Club on Triple J.
We'll be right back.
On Triple J right now, Joachim, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
This record is terrific.
Thank you.
It's really, really interesting, and it's such a wonderful listen as well. Did it come out exactly how you planned it? Because you spent a year making this record. Did it turn out exactly how you thought it would?
No. I always spend some time on records, and I always have some pretty much precise ideas of what I'm going to do, and then it always turns out to be something different. That's what I like also about the process of creating something or recording music. It's when it escapes your control and it becomes something that you can look at like some kind of creator.
Yeah,
I like that.
So when did this album sort of escape your control? At what part of the process?
Well, it's when you start to actually record things and to arrange the songs, because I was thinking I wanted to do something very minimal and simple. And as usual, I'm always adding layers and layers of sounds and instruments until the point where this is too much. So I have to take off things and it's like back and forth, adding stuff and deleting stuff. And then at the end, it's something different from what I thought in the beginning.
So how busy did this record get? Did you put on so many layers that it would surprise me now if I heard some of those tracks and play back to me?
I guess so, yeah. But it's also because this time I worked mostly on my own, because the previous record I recorded it with my band. I'm playing with the band live, you know, when I'm doing live shows. So the record before, it was almost like a live band recording. And this time I wanted to be alone in the studio, to be more focused on the sounds and spend more time on the songwriting. It means that you get more lost in a way in the recording process, because you're just on your own and you can... I have some friends who are worse than me and can spend 5-6 years on a record like this, because there's no one telling you, now it's done.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't got people to kind of throw off.
Yeah.
And if you want to do something...
Especially when you have your own studio and you're totally... free to spend how many hours you want in the studio.
And you're about to put out this record on your own label as well.
Also, it's like nobody is going to tell me. Yeah.
But in terms of having an emotional investment, this being on your own label as well as being your own work, you're going to feel pretty protective of this record now, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say it's more a more personal record than the two records I made before. I wanted to go back to the feeling I had when I made my first record, which was very personal. Because for me, it's the most important thing in music. It's music that has very strong emotional commitment. And for this, I had to do it that way on my own. And it's the first time I'm singing...
Well, there's no guests on this record. It's all you singing, isn't it?
No, because I don't really like records with tons of featurings, because I think it dilutes the intentions. And I'm my favorite records where you really have that direct connection with the singer-songwriter. Or one of my favorite records ever is that Bruce Springsteen Nebraska record.
The Nebraska record. I was just looking at that record the other day. I was going through my collection, and I've got a few Springsteen records, but I keep on coming back to Nebraska.
Yeah, because it's just him singing these songs. Like, it's super raw and super direct, and that's kind of what I want to do.
Yeah,
in music.
Yeah. It is a really personal record, that one.
Yeah, it's very personal.
From Springsteen, and it's very acoustic based. It's very different from a lot of the records around that period of his career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, the story that he was recording in a studio next to a room where Alan Vega was recording from Suicide. And that's how he got this inspiration of the voice and the shouting with the delays and stuff.
Are you serious?
Sounding a lot like Alan Vega.
I can hear the similarity now, but I would never have put those two.
Yeah. He was very much inspired by Suicide at the time, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've never read that before. And he was literally, just because it was next door and he
next
could
door.
hear what Alan Vega was doing.
Yeah.
I was talking about those Suicide records as well the other day when I was doing my show, and kind of reflecting back on how in some ways it's kind of linked back to 50s rock and roll, classic rock and roll.
Absolutely, yeah.
And like Elvis Presley was doing a lot of stuff, some of his slower stuff, on that really big reverb-y type.
Exactly, like Blue Moon
It's
definitely the same path, yeah.
It's kind of all linked. That's really interesting. Listen, Joachim is with us on Triple J. His album is called Nothing Gold. I want to play a couple of tracks from it, and we'll keep on talking about the making of it. Let's play the track which we've had for a couple of months now, Forever Young, and we'll talk a bit more about the themes of this record.
Okay.
But here it is right now, Joachim, Forever Young on Triple J. Okay, that was Forever Young by Joakim. Joakim's new album is called Nothing Gold. He's in the country at the moment and he's with me right now on Triple J. I've actually read that you were inspired by a 60s classic novel called The Outsiders.
Yeah.
You were reading,
have you read it?
You were reading. I've actually seen the film, but many years ago because Francis Ford Coppola made the film in the early 80s. And the film has, like, you look at the cast, it has Emilio Estevez, it has Rob Lowe, it has... Who else is in it? It's basically...
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, you've never seen the movie?
No, I only read the book,
But anyway, it's a star-studded cast. You look at it and it's a who's who of all those famous American male actors of the time. I've never read the book. What was so inspiring about the book?
Well, the record is not fully inspired by the book, but some songs and the title, obviously, is inspired by the book. It's a book about those teenagers discovering real life and how tough it can be and... And that's a feeling that I always had. I'm kind of a nostalgic person, maybe because I had a great childhood. So, you know, I always knew that this golden era would never come back. And it's okay. It doesn't mean I'm regretting anything. But I'm trying through music to find those tiny bits of emotions that I had at that time.
So you still feel connected in a way to the younger Joakim? You still feel like there's a strong a bond there?
I think it's really important. And I think every artist is very bonded to a part of his childhood. Yeah.
Well, we were creative back then. It's only common that we would be, you know, tapping into the same creativity if just a little bit smarter and more sophisticated.
And Forever Young is clearly about that. And it's my view of 30 years old people when I was in my 20s. I was feeling, oh, I don't want to become one of them. I don't want to become that guy who has given up on a lot of things and who doesn't really know who he is anymore. And now I'm 30 years old, so I realize it's not that simple. But it's some kind of testimony of how I felt in my 20s.
Okay. The characters, it's interesting because there's conversations happening within songs. We're going to hear a good example in just a moment. I'm going to play the track Find a Way, which is a great toing and froing. So who are the characters? Are these characters, are you always in these songs or is it written about other people?
No, it's all like fantasies. this song is a dialogue between a girl and a guy, basically, and it's a lot about the difficulty of communicating between two people or falling in love, but don't know really how to communicate it or how to actually meet, you know. And that's a theme that I already had in some songs before. Like I did this song "Are You Vegetarian," which was a bit silly, but also about this thing like two people trying to talk or to communicate, but unable to really communicate.
Yeah.
And I think also today with the mass communication that we have at hand, like everybody is communicated all the time, but somehow it's not real communication.
It's quite superficial at times, isn't it? Or a lot of the time it is.
And there's a lot of misunderstanding and
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Before we hear this track as well, the layers. Once again, you were talking before about building up a lot of layers and then bringing them back when you were making this record. There's still a wonderful instrumentation and production that goes through a lot of the tracks on this record. There are at times, though, really unsettling rhythms and instrumentation that will come in.
Yeah.
Are you playing around a little bit with the listeners at those points so that they just don't think that a song's going to start one way and end in a particular way?
Yeah, I like to surprise people because I like to surprise myself. I get bored very quickly when I work on a song. And it's important to me, I have to surprise myself and at the same time surprise people. And I also like that idea of not going where I'm supposed to go when the song starts.
Yeah, I like that because I obviously listen to a lot of music as well. And if I feel like I figured the song out within the first 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's like going to a movie and you understand the scenario in the first 15 minutes, then it's a crap movie.
Yeah, it doesn't hold you there and you fast forward through. But this album was great. It kept my attention because I wasn't quite sure where the twists and turns were going to come. Anyway, listen, Joakim, I think this track as well, I mean, Forever Young's been sounding great, but I think this track, Find A Way, is going to please people as well. I'd be surprised if they don't like this one as well. Anyway, we'll hear it right now. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.